Okay, moving on to chapter 2, looking at the physical world. What did physical refer to? When we're looking at the world, what does physical mean? What does a physical map show? Natural features, mountains, rivers, deserts. Anything natural that is not human-made, these are physical features, these are natural features. So chapter 2 is going to look at the world itself. Not human beings, not human activities. Okay, buzzing along. Starting off looking at our solar system, Earth is part of a larger physical system that contains other planets, moons, and stars. Largely review at this point, right? But we are part of a larger system. Oops, my slide's gonna move here. Okay. Inside of our solar system, we have different planets, and we're not going to go in too much depth into this. This is not an earth science course, but we're going to kind of lightly breeze over some of these topics. Planets, of course, are the largest objects in the solar system. We, of course, live upon a planet. Okay, out of the 8 planets in our solar system, we are the only one that supports life as far as we know. Okay, there used to be 9 planets, but Pluto got demoted, got bumped down to a dwarf planet, which a dwarf planet is a small round body that orbits the sun, but has not cleared the area around its orbit of other orbiting bodies. So the basic distinction there is that a dwarf planet is smaller than a planet, and when a planet is of a certain mass, of a certain size, it generates a lot of gravity, which helps in kind of clearing other bodies that are floating along by it. So Pluto, for example, was demoted from a planet to a dwarf planet. It wasn't quite big enough to make the planet criteria anymore, so it got bumped down. So we went from 9 planets in our solar system down to 8, lost a planet. Terrestrial planets, we look at different types of planets. Terrestrial planets have solid rocky crusts. Okay, we are a terrestrial planet. Other examples of that would be Mars, Venus, and Mercury. So that would be one type of planet, a terrestrial planet. Anytime you hear the word terrestrial, don't think of ET, don't think of extraterrestrial. Well, I suppose you could. But terrestrial is talking about land surface, things that exist on land. Okay. So we have terrestrial planets. We also have gas giant planets. They're much less dense. They don't have as solid of a crust, as firm of a surface. They're going to be more gaseous, made up of different gases, and less dense on the whole. Not as hard, not as solid. Examples of that, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune are gas giant planets. Okay. Other things floating around in our solar system that are not necessarily planets, that we don't put in that category, but are still kind of floating around up there and at times even collide with earthly bodies. We have asteroids, and again, a lot of this is going to be somewhat review for you guys, and I hope it is. That's going to make it all the easier when it comes to the test. But we will attach other things to this, and we'll kind of expound upon it a little bit. Asteroids are small, irregularly shaped, planet-like objects. So, still pretty good size, and they are planet-like. So we need to distinguish asteroids from other bodies like comets. Comets are made up mostly of icy dust particles and frozen gases. And as they cross the sky, hopefully you guys have gotten a chance to see one. They look like bright, kind of bright balls with long feathery tails behind them. Okay, so those are icy dust particles out there in space. Frozen icy dust particles combined with gases. We also have meteoroids, which are hunks and chunks of space debris, chunks of rock and iron. Every once in a while, these will collide with a planet or Earth. Hopefully not too large. If they were large enough, they would create major problems. This is one of the theories behind, and I guess it probably has quite a bit of support at this point, one of the theories behind the extinction of the dinosaurs is that there was a very large meteoroid that crashed into the Yucatan Peninsula right about here, and that the impact was so large and chucked so much debris and dust up into the sky that it created this huge cloud that blocked out the sun, changed the environment, changed the climates, and killed off the dinosaurs. That is one of the theories that is out there. Okay. Looking at the Earth specifically as part of the solar system, the Earth's surface is a complex mix of landforms and water systems. So when we say water systems, we're going beyond just saying, oceans, stuff like that. We're adding in all the different types of waters, water routes, rivers, lakes, ponds, all these different things, aquifers down under the Earth's surface. We'll call those water systems. So we got a mix of landforms and water systems making up the Earth's surface. Come on. There's a diagram of this in your book if you want to try to flip and find it. I don't have the page number written down or anything, but there's a pretty good diagram on page 32 looking at the different spheres that make up the Earth and the Earth's surface and the surrounding area. Okay. The different spheres are labeled as follows. The hydrosphere is the surface of the Earth that is made up by water. About 70% of the Earth's surface is water. Okay. So I'm always a little bit amused by the opinion that Earth was made solely for us, because there's only about 30% of the Earth's surface that we can even hypothetically live on, and that was if we could live easily in deserts and areas that are very difficult to live on. The tops of mountain peaks and stuff like that, we actually can live on much less than 30% of the Earth's surface, whereas, insects and fish get to live on a much larger section of the Earth's surface. So in some ways, we're not as well adapted to living on Earth as some other things. We're kind of particular. We need a certain type of environment to live in. But anyway, about 70% of the Earth's surface area is water, makes up the hydrosphere. The lithosphere is the Earth's crust, okay, the crusty, dirty Earth's surface. It's about 30% of the total surface area of the Earth is what we're going to call the lithosphere. The surrounding area, and your diagram on 32 shows this pretty well, but your surrounding layer of gases, oxygen, that goes around the Earth's surface is what we call the atmosphere. Okay. This is an area in which, it goes up miles and miles into the air, in which life can survive to a certain point, although it gets colder and colder as we go along. We'll talk a little bit more about why that is as we go. And then a more general category to add to these three kind of basic categories is the biosphere. That's the part of the Earth's surface that supports life. Looking at the areas that are on or close to the Earth's surface, or up in the atmosphere. So any part of the Earth's surface, underneath the Earth's surface a little bit, and then also up into the atmosphere that can support life, we call that the biosphere. Make sense? All that pretty clear so far, right? Okay. Looking at the Earth's surface itself, landforms, we talked a little bit about this before, are natural features of the Earth's surface. So that might be plains, plateaus, rivers, all kinds of different shapes, valleys, canyons, kind of the natural land and surface area. call those landforms or land surface areas. However, the land does not stop just because we do not see it. Once it extends out and goes down underneath the ocean, there is another very good diagram of this on page 33. Okay. But you still have landforms even though they're underneath the ocean and we can't see them. So one of the major landforms underneath the water is called the continental shelf. And you get an underwater extension of the coastline that goes out and underneath the water, and it kind of gently slopes out away from the coast. So away from the beaches of San Francisco, if you could see underneath the water, there would be a long slope that we call the continental shelf, and it's sloping downwards and downwards and downwards out into the ocean. Okay. After a while, you go out, the continental shelf extends out into the ocean, and then you get a pretty precipitous or sharp drop off down to the depths of the ocean floor. We call this the continental slope. Okay. So the ocean does not stay shallow. There are parts of the ocean that are incredibly deep. So you get this kind of shelf, which is basically what a shelf is, right? It kind of extends out, kind of dropping off gradually, and then we get the continental slope or the drop off down to the ocean floor. The highest point in the world is how many feet?
29,000.
This doesn't really work. I can't cover it up because it ends up showing up on my hand. About 29,000 feet, which is about a little bit less than 6 miles, about 5.5 miles up into the air. So going from sea level and extending about 5.5 miles up into the air, if you were to do that, that would be the height at which the peak of Mount Everest is the lowest point. So going down below sea level or down below a coastline, the lowest point in the world is the Mariana Trench, which is located in the Pacific Ocean. This is actually farther down than Mount Everest is up, right? 35,000 feet or about, you know, 7 miles or so down underneath the surface of the ocean. Mariana Trench extends that far down at its lowest points. And I see that we're running out of time for today, which is perfect because we just finished. So that was well timed out today.